Good morning and welcome back to Thought for the Day. Today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5 and verses 17 to 20. But before we do that, we're going to commit our time to the Lord. So let's pray. Glorious Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you that we can come boldly into your presence, Lord, not through anything that we have done, but because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that his shed blood means that we can have forgiveness of sin. And Lord, that we have been given the righteousness of Christ. And so as we spend time looking at these verses this morning, we pray that you'd speak to us through them. We ask that Holy Spirit, that you'd apply them to our lives, that we might be the kind of people that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be. And we ask it for his glorious name's sake. Amen. So let me read to you then Matthew chapter 5 and verses 17 through to verse 20. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been sharing with his disciples and the crowds listening in what a person who follows God looks like. So he has painted a picture that is both full and vivid. He has not, however, framed the sermon in the way that other scribes and teachers of the law would have done in his day. To this point, he has not engaged directly with the law or the prophets. All of his teaching arises out of both, but he has not directly quoted from them. And then this has left him open to the attack from those in the know that he is disregarding the law and the prophets, the charge that he is writing off what has gone before as though it was irrelevant. So there is some kind of fear of that in the crowd around. Now, it's this that Jesus now addresses. His answer is not that, not what those who were listening would have been expecting. Instead of dealing with the specific laws, which was something that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law would have done, he takes the law and the prophets and draws attention to the fact that both of them speak of him. So whichever you talk of, either the law or the prophets, they point to me, Jesus says. I am the one who fulfills all that they speak of. What Jesus is saying is that the law and prophets are not an end in and of themselves. They tell of the one who would come and answer all of the questions that the law and the prophets pose. He would be the one who would, as it were, encompass all of those things. So Jesus' presence was not a threat to the law or prophets, though the crowd around him, particularly those of the Pharisees and those of the teachers of the law, would have perhaps thought so. So Jesus' presence is no threat to them. So on the contrary, he was the one, the Messiah of which they spoke. So he was the seed of a woman. He was a prophet like Moses. He was a priest like Aaron, a saviour like Joshua, a king like David, a servant such as Isaiah spoke of. And we could keep going on. All these and many more of what the law and the prophets speak of find their completion, their fulfilment in Christ. So Jesus was adamant that until all was accomplished, not one part, not even a tiny mark of the pen would disappear or be irrelevant. And what was the accomplishment of which Jesus spoke? Well, it's hinted to in the next verses, isn't it? There needs to be a righteousness that surpasses even the most righteous example of their day. You see, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, by the society around them, were viewed as being righteous, being those that lived godly and holy lives. Yet their righteousness was not even a patch on what God required. If they wish to be part of the kingdom of God, if we wish to be part of the kingdom of God, our righteousness, our goodness, our holiness must surpass that of these men who were impassioned by the law and who sought to live by it. But they even added extra laws to enable them to, as it were, fulfill the law as they saw it in their eyes. There needs to be this understanding that the law and the prophets spoke of mankind's inability to meet God's standards, a point which Jesus will highlight in the rest of his sermon. We begin to see that as he unpacks the Ten Commandments as we know them. Now, the law was good and right, and it was not to be dismissed or to be abolished. It was to be kept. Yet this poses a problem. Who can? Who on earth could keep these laws? Who on earth could do what God required of them? Well, verse 17 of our verses tells us that Jesus can. He alone would do what others failed to do. He would keep perfectly the law of God. He would be the one who accomplished what the law required. No one would. Not only would he have accomplished what the law required, but he would also pay the penalty that the law demanded for all who failed. He would die. He would satisfy the eternal penalty that sin being required of by the law, by being the eternal Son of God and dying in the place of sinners. The only one who could do it was Jesus. And so that's what he's alluding to in these verses. So when would this be accomplished? When would all this come about? How would this happen? Well, most certainly the victory has, where we sit, has already been won in the life, death, and the resurrection of Christ. He perfectly lived his life on earth. He fulfilled all that the law demanded of a person. He is the only one who has ever been able to do that, and only one who will ever be able to do that. He perfectly fulfilled that. And then he died a death, a sinner's death, as a man who was not guilty in the place of guilty sinners. And yet the fullness of that victory, which is some 2,000 odd years ago by our reckoning, the accomplishment, the full accomplishment of all things will not be fully realized until all the events prophesied in the law and the prophets have taken place. So they still speak into life today. And the one that we most look forward to being fulfilled is the return of Christ as King, where all that is evil will be dealt with. All that is wrong will be put right because the King has returned. Now, at that point, the heavens and the earth will be made new. There will be what is old will be wrapped up, as it were. It's described in various ways. But it will be replaced by that which God makes new. Now, there are all sorts of discussions as to whether everything will disappear or whether just that which is bad will be gone and the new will come. But we don't need to get caught into that now. What we need to understand is the old will be finished and the new will have come. At that point, the law and the prophets will be fully accomplished. So Jesus's point: do not look to the law to be saved. The law will not save you. It will simply show you your shortcomings, your failures. Instead, look to the one of whom the law speaks. In him is salvation. Now, Jesus says, I am the one who fulfills the law. I am the one to whom you come for righteousness, for access, for kingship, for understanding how the law applies to you today. Only through Christ will the law and the prophets ever make sense. Now, was this not the experience of those two disciples in Luke 24 on the road to Emmaus after Jesus's resurrection? As they walked on that road and the stranger walked with them, their hearts were warmed by the revelations of Christ in the scriptures, as Jesus, who was that very stranger, opened their eyes to the truth. You know, we need the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal to us just how The law and the prophets is at work today. We need him to show us how he has fulfilled them in so many ways and will indeed completely fulfill them when everything that is spoken of within them is completed and he wraps up this world in order that we might have an eternity with him. The question is, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? The question is, do you trust him and him alone? Or are you caught up, as it were, with trying to earn your salvation in some other way? The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that we need. And so we turn to him this day for the strength that we need to live. Let's pray. Loving Father, as we think about these things, as we think about the wonderful fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, we praise you and thank you for this. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to grasp entirely what that means and that we might live for the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. May we have our eyes opened to the things of Christ. And may as we look back to the Old Testament, as we love to do, may we see more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ there. And we pray it for his name's sake. Amen.